It's good to see such a nice number out tonight on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. And it's still a wonderful time for us to come together and to open up God's Word and to study from it. Well, maybe you've seen or have owned a car that's on its way to being broken down, or maybe on its way to the junkyard. I know we've all seen cars like that. Maybe you've owned a car like that. Well, imagine taking that exact same car and opening up the hood and replacing everything under the hood. So it gets a new engine, it gets a new radiator, a new alternator, new wiring, everything. All of a sudden, that car is going to run a lot better, isn't it? It's going to sound a lot better, it's going to drive better, it's going to get better gas mileage. And all of those observable external things are a result of what changed on the inside, isn't it? And the same thing is true for us as Christians. Before Christ, we were all broken, and we were all on the fast track to the junkyard. But because of our salvation through Christ, we have been given a new heart, as Ezekiel chapter 36 says. And because of the change that has happened to us on the inside, there should be observable changes on the outside. And so the way in which we speak should be different. And the things that we do should be a little bit different. The people that we hang out with might be a little bit different. The things that we watch and the things that we listen to might be different. And even what we wear could be different. And have you ever considered that the fact that what we wear, our external apparel, is actually a reflection and should be a reflection of the heart that we've been given through Jesus Christ? And Jesus wants us to have those hearts, to be modest hearts. And because we are to have modest hearts as Christians, then we should show that on the outside as well through modest apparel. And tonight I want to talk about this issue. And I just want to be upfront with you. I did not bring a tape measure tonight. I do not have a tape measure tucked in under the pulpit at all. I didn't bring it. And it's not because I don't think the length of certain clothes is important or how much skin we show is important, because I absolutely do. I have very strong convictions on that. But I want us to understand, first and foremost, that in order for us to wear the right things for the right reasons, then the hearts that we've been given as Christians need to be in the right place. Again, the external is a reflection of the internal. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, Jesus said, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Jesus is pointing out that all of those negative external things that can be observed are a result of what's going on the inside. A heart that's not in the right place. And it's important for us to recognize that negative things that we see on the outside can be or are a result of things that are amiss on the inside. But it's also important for us to recognize that we can even be portrayed or look modest. Look like we're doing the right things, but things still be amiss on the inside. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 25, Jesus is talking and giving these woes to the scribes and Pharisees. He says in Matthew 23, verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Again, Jesus is pointing out that it's possible to look righteous, to have the external appearance that everything is fine, but inwardly our hearts can be amiss. And so we need to make sure that we are taking with this topic an inside-out approach. We need to make sure that we truly are living with modest hearts. Because if we are living with modest hearts, then we're going to be better equipped to wear the right things for the right reasons on the outside. And in order for us to know what is modest, it's good for us to know what is immodest. And typically when we talk about immodesty, we automatically jump to not wearing enough or things that just leave little to the imagination. And that definitely qualifies as immodest. And we definitely talk about that a lot because that's very, very prevalent in the society that we live in. But that's not all immodesty entails as it relates to apparel. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3, passages that we oftentimes go to talk about modesty, the emphasis there is not on wearing too little clothing. The emphasis there is on wearing clothes just for the wrong reason. A person can be completely covered, but have the wrong attitude about it. Wearing certain things as a way of boasting, as a way of drawing attention to oneself. And so that's a really interesting point. That we can be completely covered, but we can be still immodest because of the motivation behind what we're wearing. But there's also forms of immodesty in wearing clothing that promotes sin. Maybe it's clothing that has profanity on it or promotes anti-Christian things or demeans other people. Or maybe it's clothing that simply shows rebellion to God-given authority. There are so many different ways that we can display immodesty. And it's not just restricted to wearing too little. But I want us to understand tonight that we can prevent these forms of immodesty, not simply by consulting a catalog of approved Christian attire, but by making sure, as mentioned, that our hearts are modest. Because again, what is on the inside helps to show and to change what is on the outside. And so tonight I just want to talk about what a modest heart looks like. And the first thing that I want us to understand is that a modest heart is clothed with humility. Christians are to be humble people. Paul says to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And so I asked, have we clothed ourselves in humility? Have we meditated on the humble nature of our Savior? Have we clothed ourselves with His character? Have we thought about what we talked about this morning? How Jesus Himself lowered Himself, humbled Himself. Have we taken into account what He said in Luke chapter 14 verse 11? "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Every time I think about the topic of humility, I always am drawn to the quote that says, "Humility isn't thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less." In other words, it's not making ourselves feel bad about ourselves, it's not just beating ourselves up. Being humble just means we're removing ego. We're pushing pride out of the way. We're taking the focus off of us. And that is so important as it relates to this topic of modesty. Because it's genuine humility, a heart clothed in it, that'll help prevent both men and women from choosing to wear things for the purpose of trying to draw attention to themselves. A humble heart knows it's not about me. It's not about showing off. It's not about being overly flashy for people to have their eyes drawn to us. Go in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4, the scripture reading that was read earlier. There, Peter is addressing Christian wives, and he says, Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. We'll talk a little bit more about this here in just a second, but I want you to notice that it's not about being beautiful in the sight of people. Now turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. There, Paul says that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls and costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Now, you noticed in both of those passages that Peter and Paul address things like braided hair and gold jewelry and pearls. And the reason that they address those things is because it's likely that the women were wearing those things because they wanted to show off. They wanted attention. They wanted people to stop and stare. All they cared about was people seeing external beauty. And we need to understand that what Peter and Paul are saying is that it's not wrong for a woman to braid their hair. It's not wrong for a woman to wear nice clothing, clothing that looks good. The point that they're making is that we cannot wear clothing for the explicit purpose of drawing attention to ourselves. Because the focus is internal beauty, not external. A Christian understands that it's internal beauty that matters. There, Peter says, a gentle and quiet spirit. It's a focus on good works instead of gold. It's a focus on the heart. Because that is what is precious, as Peter says, in the eyes of God. And I understand that both of these passages in 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy 2 are directed specifically at the women. But men can be guilty of the exact same mentality, wearing things for the wrong reason, for drawing attention to ourselves. I cannot help but think of the scribes and Pharisees again in Matthew chapter 23. Listen to what Jesus says about the scribes and Pharisees in verse 5 of Matthew 23. He says, they do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. Phylacteries were these little boxes that Jews would wear on their heads, and inside those boxes would be certain scriptures. Jesus is saying that they would wear these things and make them broad, make their fringes long, as a way of saying, look at me. And for the scribes and the Pharisees, it wasn't, look at how beautiful I am, but they wore those things, they drew attention to themselves, because they wanted people to say, wow, look how spiritual you are. And Jesus is pointing out that wearing those things for those reasons was a reflection of their corrupt hearts. But a heart that is clothed in humility isn't going to have that mentality. A heart that is clothed in humility isn't going to say, what can I wear to get people to look at me? Or what can I add to this outfit to make me stand out and get a bunch of eyes on me? A humble heart never chooses clothing based on pride. But there's something else that we can clothe our hearts in to help us make the right choices. And that is, we need to clothe ourselves in love for one another. As I mentioned this morning, I find it absolutely incredible just how many times the Bible tells us to take the focus off of ourselves and put the focus on other people. The text we looked at this morning was Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, where Paul says, through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, it's more than just saying, I love you. It's actually doing things to show that love. So it may be just talking, being there to help bear one another's burdens through tough times. It could be assisting in some other way. But helping, loving one another is also helping each other stay out of sin. And as it relates to this topic, we can help each other stay out of the sin of lust. And whenever we talk about this particular sin, we always focus it on men lusting after women. And for good reason, I think. I am no scientist, but I would say generally, it seems that the male brain deals with that at a much higher level than the female brain. But to say across the board that females also don't struggle with that would be completely false. I think we can see it in the entertainment industry. I think we can see it in the music industry. I think we can see it in the movie industry. And even the Bible points it out. You remember Joseph and how the Bible describes Joseph? It says that he was a handsome man. And then Joseph found himself working in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife took note of Joseph. He caught her eye. And she desired him. Both men and women can struggle with the sin of lust. And as Christians who are to have hearts that are clothed in love, we need to be aware of that. Because if our hearts are clothed in love for one another, then we're going to think hard about what we're wearing and what we're not wearing. When we're shopping for clothes, we're not just going to think about ourselves. We're going to think about others too. When we're spending time in certain environments, maybe in the water, we'll think about what other people are seeing based on what we choose to wear. And we need to realize that part of having a heart that loves means we're not going to say things like, well, hold on, how come I have to be the one that watches what I'm wearing? Shouldn't that person control their eyes, control their desires? Yes. Absolutely. Every individual person is responsible for cultivating a heart that does not lust and cultivating a heart of self-control. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, you have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus points right to the men and says, you need to control your eyes. I love Titus chapter 2, one of my favorite chapters of all of Paul's writings. Because there he talks about older men and older women and younger men and younger women. And he gives instructions to them all. And the instructions vary, but there's one constant. Do you know what the constant is? It's self-control. And he doesn't explicitly say that to the older women, but he instructs the older women to teach the younger women to be self-controlled, which implies the older women must also be self-controlled. And then you think about Job chapter 31. We're talking about Job in our morning Bible study. Job in Job 31 verse 1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? We all have an individual responsibility to be self-controlled, to guard our eyes, but at the same time, we need to make sure that we're not impeding on the spiritual growth of our brothers and sisters by wearing things that could trip them up. In Romans chapter 14, verse 13, Paul writes, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. And when it comes to this, yes, this is something even men have to consider, but let's be real. Applying these things in the real world is 10 times harder for women. Ladies, the clothing industry does not help you out. Because they make things, they create styles that accentuate and draw attention to certain parts of the body that should not be accentuated. And if you have tried shopping modestly, you've probably discovered that that can be a challenge. Maybe even frustrating. But the good news is there are still options. And you all have done a wonderful job of proving that, time and time again. You can get on Google and you can search modest clothing. And you're going to get a pretty good result of a number of credible clothing companies who specialize in modest apparel, and it's actually stuff you'd probably like to wear. Will it take a little bit of extra effort? Maybe. But the extra effort that you put into finding something that you're comfortable wearing and that is modest is well worth it. Because that action is a reflection of your heart to love others. But you know, dressing modestly isn't just about thinking of the other person. It's also thinking about ourselves. Because to have a modest heart, we have to dress ourselves in purity. We have to recognize that God has given us bodies that are to be guarded. I think about Genesis chapter 3 and how in the garden before Adam and Eve sinned, they were naked. But then they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and their eyes were opened. And when their eyes were opened, they realized for the first time, hey, we're naked. And they felt a sense of shame. And because of that sense of shame, they went on and they actually sewed together fig leaves for loincloths. You see, the knowledge that they gained caused them to recognize that there are just certain areas of the body that need to be covered in order to maintain purity. And this shift of mentality is seen in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3, when God is walking in the garden and he calls to the man and says, "Where are you?" And the man replied, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." You see the change of mentality? The recognition that, hey, we're not wearing as much as we need to be here. It causes their behavior in front of God to change, and in front of each other. But I find it interesting that God takes it a step further at the end of the chapter in verse 21 when it says there, "The Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Just an interesting thing to consider that he took what they had and gave them something else. Garments of skin. If I'm not mistaken, I think some of the translations actually render that tunics, if I'm not mistaken. But as children of God, we need to recognize what Adam and Eve did. We need to recognize that the body is not meant to be on display. We need to recognize that there's a sense of shame that we should have. Not that we should be ashamed of our bodies, but we should have a sense of shame and that we should be ashamed to display our bodies to the world around us. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, it's written, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen." Through these verses, I want us to really take away the fact that our bodies are not to be on display for just anyone. And the reason is because they first and foremost belong to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And so our bodies belong to God, but God says that your body can belong to someone else on this earth. But the only other person that your body can belong to is your spouse. In the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 3, "The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does." And so our bodies are only for one other person on this earth to see. But how sad is it that we live in a world where people show off the majority of their bodies to complete strangers without batting an eye? And our hearts should cultivate a sense of purity that would want to prevent that. That would want to guard and protect the bodies that God has blessed us with. That begs the question, though, where is the line? How much is too much? What am I allowed to show? And I could take you to a number of different passages. I've got five here in my notes that show us consistent, approved garments from the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and the Christian age. And all of those garments that are approved have something in common. They go from the shoulder to the knees. So maybe that could be a starting point in the conversation. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that. But I heard something the other day that really hit home to me. Carolyn and I were watching a video together, and it was about a woman and her journey through the years with this topic of modesty, starting from before she was a Christian and when she became a Christian, and even the years that followed. And she says that now she teaches her children, if you would be uncomfortable with someone touching you in a certain spot, you shouldn't show that spot. And she followed that up by saying, people may not touch you with their hands, but they can always touch you with their eyes. And I thought, what a great way of helping us to establish boundaries. Because we all know what is appropriate and inappropriate for people to touch. We all know what would make us uncomfortable. And I think that really hits home in helping us begin to have that conversation and couple that with Christian or biblical principles on where these types of decisions should fall. We have to remember that at the end of the day, what we wear is not about bringing glory to ourselves. It's not about having people look at us. It's about allowing people to see God and to see His glory. We need to make sure that our hearts are properly adorned so they can see that. We need to make sure that we're not distracting away from Him because of what we are putting on the outside. And so we need to make sure that we are adorning our hearts with humility and with love for one another and with purity. We also need to keep in mind what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, hence humility, which is in God's sight very precious. Those are just some of the thoughts that I had on this particular topic. I hope that you have found them helpful. We haven't talked about the gospel tonight. And that is the most important message that the world has ever known because it is the message of Jesus Christ. It is the message that has the power to save. And it's the message that tells us that Jesus saw our sin and was determined to do something about it. That means He willingly came to this earth and He lived that humble life. He had the perfect heart, which means He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And if we recognize that He made that sacrifice for us, if we recognize that it's our sins that keeps us from a relationship with God, we can repent of that. And we can be clothed with Christ in baptism. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If we're going to have a modest heart, we have to be clothed in Jesus Christ. And it can start right now, this very evening. If you're ready to become a Christian, if you're ready to start that new life and walk with Him, you can do that now as together we stand and as we sing.